From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Ben Proust should be along from the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons. We'll discuss the weather forecast, of course, with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. And along the way, I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, or visit our webpage at willag.org and hit contribute now in the red button at the top of the page. Either way, to make your contribution in support of agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up on a Friday afternoon at the CME Group in Chicago, where the soft red winter wheat in the December contract settled 4.25 cents lower at $6.18 and a quarter. The March at 6.28 and three quarters was down a nickel, and July at 6.34 and three quarters, 5.5 cents lower. Hard red July down 5.5 as well. It finished at $6.74 and a quarter. December corn futures at 4.20 and a half, down 7 and three quarters. The March at 4.25 and a half, 8 and three quarters lower. And May corn, $4.33 and three quarters, down 8 and three quarters. July at 4.40 and three quarters, down 8 and a half. And December contract at $4.52 and a half, finished 9 cents lower on the day. January, or rather March of next year, at 4.63 and three quarters, is down 8 and three quarters of a cent in the corn pit. Now January contracts, those always belong to the beans. Nearby contract at 13.27 and a half, up 3 and three quarters. March 2 and a quarter higher at 13.13 and three quarters, and May at $12.97, up 2 cents. July futures for the day 3/4 of a cent higher at $12.84, and then things turned lower. November of next year at $11.57 and three quarters, down a half. January down a half as well of 2015 at $11.62 and three quarters of a cent. Bean meal at 4.62.90, up 3.50. Bean oil 39.47, that finished 33 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $131.87 and a half cents, up 37 and a half cents. February at $132.85, that's down 25. And January feeders were unchanged at 167.7 and a half for the day. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. Nearby, January at $96.57 a barrel, down 93 cents. The RBOB gasoline price, that's wholesale, at $2.63 and a tenth of a cent, is 0.3 of a cent lower. And ethanol futures at $1.75 and a half, 7.5 cents lower. The spread between the two is 87 and 6 tenths of a cent wide. That's 7 and a tenth of a cent wider than it was at the close yesterday. Natural gas at $4.35 and a half cents, down 5 and a half cents, and diesel fuel at $2.97 and 6 cents. That's 0.3 of a cent lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,235.40 when they finished up were up $9.70, and the dollar at 80.21 is up 0.01 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A chance of snow, some sleet, that'll all come after 4 this afternoon. Mostly cloudy and a high of 36 degrees. A south wind at 9 miles an hour, gusting to 15. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 50%. Tonight, snow, sleet before 7, then snow, low of 27 degrees. South winds at 6 to 8, becoming easterly after midnight. Chance of precipitation at 100% for this evening. New snow and sleet accumulation of 3 to 5 inches possible. Saturday, snow before 1 in the afternoon. A slight chance of rain or snow, high of 32. East winds at 6 to 11. Becoming north-northwest in the afternoon. Winds could gust all the way to 15. Chance of precipitation 100%. Another 1 to 2 inches of snowfall is possible on Saturday, bringing the totals to what? 4 to 7 inches over the 24-hour period. And then on Saturday evening, mostly cloudy and a low, because the winds turn to the north again, of just 14 miles an hour. Low of just 14 degrees, rather. Wind chill values between 4 and 9. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's a production of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, check up on that box up at the top of the page that's in red. It says donate now. That would be a really good thing to do. You can do it at 217-244-9455 if you'd like to call in. But however you do it, we'd like you to do it right now. Pledge your support of agricultural programming. Give us a few dollars if you can. We like the $120 level. More is fantastic. We're looking to raise about $36,000 over a 36-hour time frame. That's today, 12 hours, yesterday, 12 hours, and tomorrow, 12 hours. We have ag programming on each of those days, so no matter what day you dial in on, it counts, but you have to make sure you tell them agricultural programming, whether you're dialing in or whether you have to put it in a checkbox online. Do it today. Do it right now at willag.org or dial this number, 217-244-9455.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On this Friday afternoon, let's check in on the commodity markets. With us today, as usual, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Get ready for the snow. It missed us, but it's heading your way.
No, it looks like we're going to get some snow, and 50% for this afternoon, and this evening 100% tomorrow. And I guess that by the time it's done, we could have between 4 and 7 inches, so... time to get the, well, I'm not going to get a snow shovel out. something with an engine on it. Maybe something bigger from the neighbor with an engine might even be better. We'll see how that goes.
That's right. Have your wife bake him some cookies and take him over there.
Oh, well, she's going to bake. She may as well bake cookies for me. I think so. Hey, what'd you think of the marketplace this week in Chicago? Of course, we had USDA's numbers out. They were consumed pretty quickly, and then we went kind of right back to where we were and turned down.
Yeah, I think the weekly closes tell the story. The wheat led the declines in the grain markets because of the report. And I think also, Todd, we saw some unraveling of the Iranian deal that was made about a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. That is unraveling, and new sanctions starting to come out by the White House, probably starting to make people walk back in the trade concerning increased wheat deals and increased demand, because that was one of the things that was looked at as positive once the Iranian deal was struck a few weeks ago. So March wheat down 3.3%. DEIS expiration did nothing to help that at all. In fact, December closed down below the August lows, so we made some fresh contract lows. Not a lot of support until you get to just above $6. I think then at midweek it was all about the ethanol and all about the U.S. Senate bill and the mandate being eliminated and that bill coming to fruition. And I say that because just in the last 3 days of the trade, the January ethanol market fell almost 12%. Corn, after making a new DEIS corn, after hitting the best level since mid-November, by Wednesday afternoon, Thursday was on its way down for a 2% loss. So you had 12% loss in Jan ethanol, 2% loss in March corn at the end of the week. Talked to our colleague Jake Benjamin earlier in the afternoon after the market closed and got his ideas of what the cash ethanol margin lost and from Friday last to the current day. And it seems like we probably lost about 6%, or we went from around 60 cents down to around 53 cents. Still very, very good historical margins, but I think the fact that the ethanol fell like a rock really opened the door to renewed bearish selling in the corn market.
Do you think once they get a handle on what this bill really means that it might bounce back just a bit? It's only a three-page bill, and only, I am going to guess, about 40 lines or so. It's not very long, and it simply takes the... It takes everything out of the RFS that does not involve advanced biofuels. And by default, the only thing that really impacts is corn. And it says, we're not going to have any mandate at all for 10% blends or whatever blend you want to put in to the gasoline supply, right? So it deals completely with that part of the RFS that is biofuels that are not considered advanced.
Yeah, and this is where it was, you know, at best, I think, in my opinion, and this is what I've talked to clients about, it's probably the most short-sighted thing I can remember in a long time and probably a bit irresponsible, because if you're going to eliminate that mandate, do you also eliminate the oxygen requirement, and therefore you have to come up with something other than ethanol, and like what ethanol replaced was the MTBE. So it brings the market almost back to square one, because those issues should have been addressed first and foremost as far as what are we going to do to replace the mandate for the advanced biofuels, or are we going to keep the oxygen mandate, and so by default the ethanol will keep on cranking until a new technology comes down the pike. So this is, I think, your question is extremely important to the trade as we go into next week's market, because the ethanol chart is in a free fall. If you look at the January daily ethanol chart, we were earlier this week in the cash markets making, in some areas, all-time highs in ethanol crushing margins, and we saw the USDA bump up the ethanol by 50 million bushels. Now we have to go back almost to square one. And it's even worse than the EPA, because they were talking about cutting it completely and, right, like I said, not addressing the oxygen issue. So I'm fearful that the technicals and the futures traders, if they don't get an answer fairly soon, will continue to pile on here going into the end of the year.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can resolve some of that problem. Our farm policy specialist here, Jonathan Kappas, I talked to this morning, and I'm sorry I'm not running this afternoon, had taken a look at the Feinstein Senate bill, and that's what it is. It does have bipartisan support. Those senators are from, as you might expect, large livestock production states and or large crude oil production states, one of the two. He says it is a message bill. It has to be reported to Barbara Boxer's committee. And on Wednesday of this week, he reminded me that she simply said of the RFS, she likes it where it is. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to follow through and kind of find out what happens with that bill. Thanks to Jonathan Kappas for being really in the loop on it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. But we'll see how the bill goes and how the RFS goes. And nonetheless, it matters, I suppose, only on how far the downside is, maybe, for the moment, because we're looking at, what, a bigger crop for Argentina for wheat, if you're wanting wheat to lead to the downside. We have a large crop for corn to go to the downside. I don't know. Soybeans, are they remaining the bright spot in this picture or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, you know, this is where the meal on its expiration in the December contract looked a lot like the July-August meal when it expired and August took over as lead month futures in the middle part of the summer. That spread ended up getting up to over $90 a ton premium to the July meal on a close. Today, right before the expiration, we were running a little over $80 a ton premium in the December market for the meal versus the January, and that makes sense because we're running $50 to $60 over on the cash basis right now for December and January cash meal in the middle part of the country. And if you go back and look at what happened the week after the July meal went off the board, we had a lower opening, obviously, because the August took over as lead month, but that August was able to rally about $40 a ton in that week after the expiration. And so I think that's where beans really picked up the slack today on the close, thanks to the meal. So if we get a nice move in the meal next week, then the beans will probably fight and get back above some technical levels that they probably shouldn't have closed below after the report came out, and especially after the export sales came out. But the weather played some role in the market in the beans this week. It will continue to. I would say maybe to caution producers from getting too excited about the beans is that this may be one of those opportunities to scale up sell if the meal takes over to the upside, Todd, because we do have the Lunar New Year coming in China, and the demand usually slows down pretty dramatically.
We haven't talked about corn yet.
Yeah, corn market, probably biggest thing you've got to watch is if we take out that 420, 425 level that the Dease was able to carve out, that 418.5 low, I believe it was exactly. But we're on our way to that next week in the March as being lead month. If we take that out, then we open up levels probably down towards the $4 level. And some people are talking about the rejected corn from China is going to be talked about at a meeting between some trade people, official trade people, between China and the United States next week. In fact, they're on their way there now, from what I'm hearing. So that will be an important element to the puzzle, too.
Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go for the afternoon?
Hogs tried to bottom this week, I think, Todd, but I think the problem was is that the grain market falling on this ethanol bill probably took some premium out of the hogs as well. So we're right on some key technical support on the hogs to be watching.
All right. I will try to send you the audio, Mike, from COPPA so you get a chance to listen to that before we do Commodity Week.
That sounds great.
How about that? Okay.
That sounds great. And good luck with the fund drive. Please give, everybody.
Thank you so much, Mike. And we'll talk to you very soon for Commodity Week today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
A couple of special notes here as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll record Commodity Week this afternoon during the normal time frame at about 4 o'clock and then post it to our website by 6 o'clock this evening. Our panelists will include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities and Mike Zuzlow from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. A special guest this week, Mike Duffy, who just completed the annual 2013 Land Value Survey for Iowa State University. We'll talk to him in the second half of the program. Should be a very interesting discussion about the price of farmland in the state of Iowa. By the way, farmland values in the northwestern corner of the state of Iowa are down about 3 to 5% from last year to this year. That's an extraordinary amount. That happened to be the place where land values went up the most in Iowa, too, over the last decade. And we'll talk more about that with Mike Duffy. You can hear it on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Speaking of Commodity Week, we have a brand new slot for Commodity Week beginning in January of 2014. Commodity Week will go live immediately after this program on our home radio station. Still be up on the website very soon in the afternoon on Fridays. We hope you like the new time slot. Commodity Week immediately after the closing market report starting in January of 2014. Oh, and one other item, thanks to Dave Dickey, who will be filling in for me next week here on the Closing Market Report, as I'll be on the road with the Ag Economist, the Farm Doc team from the University of Illinois, with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We'll be in Champaign and Sycamore and Galesburg, Mount Vernon and Bloomington. If you haven't signed up, don't worry about it. Just walk in. You can find all the details on the Farm Doc website or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, a couple of quick items of note in the news for the day. The House passed a farm bill extension that happened yesterday. And I don't think that matters a whole lot because the Senate did not do the same. On the Senate, it looks like the farm bill conferees may have arrived at some breakthroughs. We'll see about that in early January. So breakthroughs now are important. And what we'd like to do is break through to you and get you to break through to a phone number or a website, one of the two, and deliver a little cash to WILL and the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. In the studio with us, he looks like he's got a cash update, maybe, is Les Schulte. Les, where do we stand? We're looking for $36,000 over 36 hours.
36 hours, $36,000. That's what we're trying to raise in this sort of abbreviated December drive here to keep us on track. Currently, we are at $22,673. We're on our way.
Yep.
This is exciting, though, Todd. So far, we've had 99 pledges today.
Yeah.
Today. That next pledge is going to put us over the 100 pledge mark. So if you can make a call right now at 217-244-9455, or maybe if you're working on your computer, just click on over to willpledge.org. And make your pledge there. You will be number 100. 100.
That would be really cool. Hey, just before I went on the air, I checked those numbers. We were too short of that. We were at 97, not 99. And I did the math. Actually, I had somebody else do the math real quick.
Sure.
But the average pledge for this drive is really high. Did you get the average pledge?
I have not seen the average pledge yet.
About $220.
Yeah, people have been very generous so far during this drive. And so we really appreciate that because, again, it's very short. It started yesterday. Today's the middle day, ends tomorrow, and so there's really not time to kind of put it off and get around to it later because it's all, you know, it started, it's later already. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or willpledge.org, especially if you appreciate this agricultural service that we bring you. You know, I thought that was a very interesting analysis that Mike gave just a few moments ago, but he's one of 21 analysts that we have on the air each week. And we think it's very important that we bring you a variety of opinions, a variety of analysts, so that you can make the decisions you need to make for your business. If you use the service for your business, we want you to invest a little bit back into our business so that we can keep bringing you this kind of information on the air, online, in our e-newsletter, over the phone. We're delivering it the way you need to use it.
Social media,
we got it all. We're working on it all.
Between Dave and I, we have almost 700 followers on our Twitter account.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's
so we
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what...
Thanks.
Well, I don't even know what Twitter means, but I think that's pretty darn impressive.
It's good. It's not bad. We're doing well.
But why don't you just pick up the phone and make a call at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org for all of the services you use on this public media. It might be you might listen to the news in the morning, but if you really depend on this agricultural service as one of the key reasons you listen to this station, call 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Think about making a $120 a year contribution.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter less how they listen. If they listen to our home radio station, which is the public radio station, that's WILL in Urbana-Champaign, or you listen to one of our affiliate stations out across the state, whether that's in Watsika or Kewaunee, Taylorville, Clinton, wherever you happen to be, Hoopston, those are stations that are carrying the program, and they're carrying the program because it makes a difference, they believe, to farmers in their area. And hopefully we've built it so that those stations can manage to reap a little benefit from it. And we would like you, the listeners to all of those stations, to dial in so we can reap a little benefit as well at 217-244-9455. About 40% of the budget that operates the home station comes from you, our listeners. And it's really important that you come to the table. We're not asking for a lot this time around, just $36,000. Sometimes that's well into the $100,000 area. We're just trying to keep pace with where we should be at the year. And you can help us out. You can do that online, too, at willag.org, and then look for the red button at the top of the page that says Contribute Now, or just dial 217-244-9455. You can do it by Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. They're all great ways to do it. It's really quick and simple, but however you do it, make sure you tell them that you're supporting agriculture here at WILLAG.org. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Ambrosia Day. Not the food of the gods, but a dessert made from fruits, sugar, and grated coconut, which is most popular in the South. The earliest published recipe comes from Buckeye Cookery in 1877. On this day in agricultural history in 1893, the first U.S. patent was issued for aerial photography. The patents called for multiple aerial photographs taken automatically from different locations at a predetermined height from an unmanned stationary balloon on a tether rope to produce topographical maps. In 1900, Maria Telkis was born, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-powered stove. And in 1929, Charles Goodnight died, a cattle rancher in the American West. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s. It had shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In addition to raising cattle, Goodnight preserved a herd of Native American bison, which survives to this day. He also crossbred buffalo with domestic cattle, which he called Cattalo. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. If you've already dialed in, thanks so much to 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. If not, why not do it right now or go online at willag.org and hit contribute now in the red box at the top of the page. On the phone line with us is Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Jim, you better take some extra time and talk us through this next 18 hours, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd. It's going to be some real winter weather is coming our way. You know, right now it's not too bad outside. It's about 37 degrees out and nothing is falling just yet, but it's going to get colder and snowier as the week as the evening progresses. Looking at the radar, it looks like it's about 2 to 3 hours away from Champaign County right now. It's all the precipitation is to the west of Springfield, but it's heading this way, and there's a lot of it. The forecast for this afternoon is really not much of a chance for accumulation, but as we get into tonight, especially after about sunset and through about midnight or so, they're looking at the snow really starting to come down pretty good. And tonight, snowfall amounts of 3 to 7 inches are possible. And some more snow tomorrow, so it's not going to let off until probably in the afternoon. And so we got an additional inch possible tomorrow during the day. So, but we could have some pretty sizable counts there in some parts of Illinois. And we're going to have some wind with that as the storm system moves through. There's going to be some pretty strong winds, especially on Saturday, so that's going to blow it around. So it's tonight and tomorrow is going to be pretty interesting.
Is your idea here that this will be a wet snow or a dry snow when it comes down? Because with the wind, it's going to make a big difference.
That's right. You know, I think it's going to start out, it's going to be probably along the wet side as we get close to the freezing mark. But as temperatures start to drop tonight, you're supposed to get down to 27. So that's going to be a little drier, or likely be a little drier snow at that point. So I suspect by tomorrow morning, it has the potential for it to blow around quite a bit.
Oh, nice. So we'll get a nice wet snow. We'll freeze that. It'll be a little icy, and it'll just blow right on top of it.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll make it easier to move. Great.
Yeah.
That's not what I like to hear, Jim. How about the rest of the week?
Yes. Well, maybe it looks a little better. Now, Saturday night's going to be pretty cold, and Sunday warming up a little bit. Saturday night, low of 14, so be kind of breezy and cold. But then Sunday will be high 22, low Sunday night 13. But then if we get into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, then we're looking at temperatures with highs in the low to mid-30s and lows in the 20s. So that's actually a little closer to the long-term average for this time of year. So not quite as bitterly cold this coming week as it was this week we're in right now.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. Les Schulte in with a final word on our fun drive for agriculture.
Yes, so if you appreciate this service, if you use Todd and Dave's information and on the information of the analysts, we implore you to support this service with your call right now at 217-244-9455, or just go online and make that pledge there at willpledge.org.
I'm Todd Gleason.